Welcome to today's episode of Sex in the Bull City. Today I am with Marae. She is one of the clinicians here at Bull City Psychotherapy, and she is here to talk to us today about what to expect in couples therapy. Tell us a little bit about you, Marae.
Hi, everybody. So I am a licensed marriage and family therapist associate. I went to ECU, Go Pirates. And my specialty is with couples. Okay. I work with a lot of like high conflict couples, couples who come in more so like in a crisis. And it's usually, you know, they are contemplating divorce. Someone is wanting to move out. They just had like a big blow up. So I work with a lot of high conflict couples. But I work with couples who also don't have as much, you know, conflict or chaos. Who kind of just want to do like a check-in. And so I work with a range of couples, but I do my best work with high conflict couples.
Okay. All right. So let's say I am part of a couple and I am thinking about something drastic. I am thinking about leaving, asking my partner to leave, and we agree couples therapy first. I think that's a little scary. What is in store for me if I come to you and I'm in the middle of this crisis? What can I expect?
So in the beginning of couples therapy, if you're coming in with the crisis, I typically start off couples therapy with a lot of assessing where you are. Right, because I'm walking into your coupleship not knowing who you are, not knowing how you're feeling besides just anxious and all over the place. So
chaos.
Yeah, chaos. Right. And so there's a lot of just me getting to know you two, what's going on, maybe learning about some of your histories, and just kind of checking in, setting a foundation for us to even get started with couples therapy. And that takes a little time. So the expectation that I would put out there is to acknowledge and expect that it's going to take some time for us to get to the root of the issues. Right? You're not going to come into couples therapy and in three sessions, you're going to feel like...
Everything is all better.
Everything is all better. We're making all this, you know, progress because now this person has changed in three sessions. That's not a realistic expectation, but I know that's kind of what people want.
Right. People want their crisis to be fixed. I imagine, based on my own work, that there's an element of trying to stabilize at the beginning. What does that look like?
Yeah. So in the beginning, I actually use EFT. And so the beginning stages is de-escalation. And we kind of go back and forth with de-escalation depending on what may come up in their life too. Some circumstances causes them to escalate and we kind of have to go back to de-escalating the couple. But in the de-escalation phase, it's the phase where you are trying to see how connected you are willing to give back, what level of connection you're willing to give back to. So it's, can I hold space for my partner and just tell them things that I like about them? Can I go on a date with my partner and enjoy their company without all these expectations to get to the big issues? Can I just care and be there with my partner, right? That's the de-escalation phase. Can we coexist and be happy? Or not necessarily happy because sometimes they can't necessarily be happy, but... can we coexist and care for each other in a space?
Is there still some level of connection? And building a little stability there before getting into the root of what's going on.
Because if we can't do that, diving into the root of the issue without any care for the other person is only going to lead you to divorce. Right? Because if you don't care how you are affecting your partner, you don't care how... you're talking to them and you don't care, you know, what's going on with them, what their emotions are. If we jump into that, there's so much room to hurt the person even more. Mm-hmm. There's so much room to damage the relationship even more.
So you're trying to minimize damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You used a term earlier, and I want to make sure listeners understand it. You said you do EFT. What is EFT?
So EFT is a evidence-based theory that I kind of focus on saying it's more a bottom-up approach.
Okay, what does that mean?
People really like when I use that term. So basically, EFT gets to the root causes of what you may have going on.
Okay.
And it is focused on the raw emotions that come up, what your cycle is like, what attachment issues that you may or may not have, or your partner may or may not have, and how that's playing into your cycle. So EFT is evidence-based couples approach, and it is intensive. I like to tell people that, because if you're not used to talking about emotions, doing EFT is really intensive, because now you have to be vulnerable with this person.
That, feels like a lot.
That you may not be used to being vulnerable with. Certain topics you may not be used to talking about or are afraid to talk about, because of the fear of judgment or the fear of they're not going to understand where I'm coming from. So EFT gets to the root issues very quickly, because we're talking about emotions that are coming up, not the surface level thoughts and maybe some beliefs that people may have.
So they're not coming in just to argue over how to load the dishwasher.
Correct.
Right. So
the dishwasher.
We all fight about the dishwasher, right? But it sounds like you work on stabilizing by de-escalating, and then it sounds like you're moving into a second phase.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're doing some work with the emotions, and really dropping into the root causes. You know, you talked a little bit about attachment theory, and you know, I think that's kind of a popular thing that comes up on social media a lot now. What do people need to understand about attachment theory and the way that it affects their relationships?
So there's so many different podcasts, topics, like there's so many articles about attachment theory. And so I like to just give a very basic, your attachment style is based off how seen, how loved, how secure, how stabilized your relationship was with your caregivers. Because sometimes your caregivers aren't necessarily your parents.
But the people who raised you.
Yeah, the people who raised you, and how consistent they were at meeting certain needs for you. So some people with anxious attachment styles, they may have had a parent who was inconsistent, but still showed up. So certain needs got met sometimes, but sometimes they didn't. And maybe they had to act out or do something to get that need met, to prompt the parent to meet them. Whereas some avoidant people may have consistently went without certain needs. And so they just, it became a normal thing for them to not have this need met, but they still want, you know, they still wanted whatever.
It was still a need.
Yeah, they still wanted the need, but they got used to going without. And so they don't expect it, but they still crave it. And so that shows up in relationships as with the anxious partner, right? If we're assuming they all grow up and then they have these anxious attachment styles, maybe they have an anxious partner who is used to prompting their partner to get whatever they need.
They had to remind mom. So now they're going to remind their partner.
And, or they're acting out, right? They're trying to get this attention from their partner. So they're saying hurtful things, or they are, seeing if they're paying attention by testing them. Stuff like that, shows up in the relationship, or they're over exaggerating all these things because they want their partner to show that they care by stepping in and soothing that anxiety for them.
So whatever patterns they formed as very, very young children, they have brought into their adult relationship patterns. And now their relationship is bumping up with the patterns of their partner.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be the patterns that they formed as children, too. That's another layer of the attachment theory is it could be a bad relationship that they end up developing this attachment style based on who they were with.
Previous relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So based on your partner's attachment style, if you were in a relationship with someone who was maybe avoidant, you can develop more anxiety, or you can match their attachment and become more avoidant in your next relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily just childhood sometimes. And I think that's an important part, because some people come in and they're like, well, my childhood was great, mm-hmm. but I'm still showing up as this anxious person because my last relationship, he never took me anywhere. We never mm-hmm. did these things, and I didn't get the things that I needed. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to throw that in there too.
Okay. I appreciate that. I think my understanding has been the more simplistic, and I've wondered about the impact of adult relationships. Mm-hmm. So to recap what you've said so far, you de-escalate mm-hmm. and stabilize the couple. You work from the bottom up with EFT, using attachment, using emotional states, mm-hmm. and what's really going on with them. Then what?
So then we are throwing in tools, right? So mm-hmm. we are creating a healthier cycle, or more, okay. we call it a positive cycle, positive mm-hmm. interaction cycle. Okay. And so we're using the tools that they have now learned, because they care to learn about how mm-hmm. to communicate with one another. They care to engage differently. Mm-hmm. They care to put forth the effort to connect with one another.
Okay.
So now they're using the tools to communicate a little bit healthier. They're sharing their feelings and putting themselves out there to be more vulnerable and say the hard thing that they didn't want to say before. Because they're also developing trust that my partner can hold this space for me, validate mm-hmm. me, or at least be curious about how mm-hmm. I'm feeling.
I won't be dismissed.
Mm-hmm. I won't okay. be dismissed. Or I know that my partner may have a tendency to dismiss me based on their attachment style.
Okay.
Right? So mm-hmm. I'm now aware that this isn't personal, mm-hmm. but I can tell you how I'm feeling and acknowledge, okay, I know, like, this may be hard for you too. I know you are used to avoiding mm-hmm. Certain conversations, but I just want to tell you where I'm coming from, right? So there's the knowledge that they also gain from learning about who they are, what attachment style they have, and utilizing those skills to move forward.
I think one thing that's interesting that you're talking about is this attachment style does not mean somebody's incapable mm-hmm. of attaching in another way. Mm-hmm. Their pattern might be to be anxious, or their pattern might be to be avoidant. But they can learn skills in therapy with you that allow them to engage in new and different ways mm-hmm. to be able to attach to their partner and connect with their partner.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and in secure ways and healthy mm-hmm. ways, because the whole point is to have a secure and healthy mm-hmm. relationship, which means you have to show up in a secure and healthy way. And I'm teaching them the tools to be able to do that. And then they become more secure in mm-hmm. themselves, because they have to use the skills and then get the reassurance that they need, right? Mm-hmm. They're getting that need met now because they have these skills to say, I feel like you neglected me, mm-hmm. and that's coming from my past, but, you know, I need to say this because this is how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. I normally don't say this, right? They're using the tools to now meet that need that they previously, were not able to, vocalize and also, meet. Their partner was mm-hmm. able to meet.
And the risks are paying off. Mm-hmm. That changes our patterns when our risks pay off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the middle phase is more of them doing the work, right? Mm-hmm. They're now using the tools, doing the work, and seeing some of the changes actively. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the end, which is where they're in the maintenance phase. Mm-hmm. This is the fun, happy time where they're coming in. They're like, my mind is blown because we haven't argued in 2 weeks, or we don't really have anything to talk about, right? This is when they're almost graduating out mm-hmm. of couples therapy, and they're just kind of being I don't want to say nitpicky, but they're trying to fix every little problem at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they now have the capacity, they now have the language, they now have the skills to fix the very minor issues mm-hmm. before they leave out of therapy.
So I have heard of couples being in therapy for 8, 9, 10, umpteen years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're still doing therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What's different about coming to you?
First I want to put out there that I have a code of ethics, the AMFT mm-hmm. code of ethics, to where there is one code that basically says, I cannot ethically see you if you are not making progress, if you are not making changes, if you are staying stagnant in therapy.
Mm-hmm. Because if you won't do the work.
If you won't do the work, because it's not healthy.
It's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I abide by that code of ethics, mm-hmm. and maybe that's a part of mm-hmm. where things differ with mm-hmm. other therapists. Some people kind of keep letting people come in and come mm-hmm. in and come in, and they're not making the change that they need to make, but they feel like this is the space that they can process mm-hmm. and talk about things. But at a certain point, you have to cut the cord and you have to say, well, they're not ready to change, or maybe I'm not the person that can help you. So that's mm-hmm. part of it, I believe. Another part of it is that some people have a lot of trauma.
That's fair. You know, I think it's important what you said about doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people aren't willing to do the work, you can't do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like what you're saying about maybe people needing to do some of their own work on trauma
mm-hmm.
And things that they need to do individual therapy about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the differences that I'm seeing is that you will take people to the deeper places. You'll go to the emotion-focused places where it is harder work,
mm-hmm.
where it is kind of having an expectation that people are going to engage in difficult conversations
mm-hmm.
And not just show up and argue about the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that's different than some practices, that you are expecting people to go deeper.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they don't go deeper, then we're slapping a Band-Aid on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be the person that slaps the Band-Aid on the issue, because mm-hmm. that's not my training. That's not something I believe in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if my purpose is to help you and for you to have a healthier and connected relationship,
mm-hmm.
then that's the structure I'm going to set. If you want to be healthier and happier and connected, then you have to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot move past them. If sex is taboo, I understand, but you have sex in your relationship and mm-hmm. you need to talk about sex. If religion is causing an issue, I understand, but we need to talk about religion and how it's playing a role in your marriage mm-hmm. or your relationship. So all those taboo topics have to be addressed because they're affecting you.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like your ideal clients are the people who are ready to do the work.
Yes. My ideal clients are the people who are ready to do the work. And sometimes it takes them coming to therapy to realize that they're actually not ready.
Mm-hmm.
I've had those situations to where I've had to let people know, you're not ready for this. And it's okay mm-hmm. that you're not ready. Come back when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we talked a little bit beforehand about some of the misconceptions
mm-hmm.
around couples therapy. And you know, I said at the beginning, like, you know, people might think they're coming in. I don't even know what expectations they might have. What misconceptions have you found that people have about couples therapy?
Misconceptions. I think some people come in and they think that they don't have to do anything.
Mm.
That seems to be very common. Like, my partner is the wrong partner, and if only they change, then we'll have a healthy relationship. And that's a huge misconception, because mm-hmm. the couple is a system, and I treat the couple as a unit, right? So I'm mm-hmm. treating the relationship, not two individuals in a relationship. So if we are a unit, right, we need to have this unit flowing and working together. Mm-hmm. So that's not just one person being the wrong person in the mm-hmm. relationship. And that seems to be very difficult for some people to take in. And so I'm sorry if you're listening and that's difficult to take in, but it just is what it is, right? Two people play a role in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So no one person can take all of the blame for the relationship not going well.
Mm-hmm. I do want to ask then, in what situations, maybe around safety, mm-hmm. maybe around trauma, mm-hmm. does somebody need to worry less about couples therapy and more about getting to a safe location?
If they are in any type of physically violent mm-hmm. or any type of physically violent situation, mm-hmm. I cannot necessarily see them in that situation because mm-hmm. we can't do effective, deep-rooted couples therapy if, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to go home and get into a fight in the car. Mm-hmm. That's not healthy or safe. So that's one situation. And then it can get a little complicated because you can also add in certain addictions into that situation. Mm-hmm. If they have certain safety issues with the substances, if their partner gets high or is drunk and now they're in a difficult mm-hmm. or unsafe situation, then we can't necessarily do couples therapy because they're inebriated mm-hmm. or they can't show up and process those emotions because they're numb to them.
Right.
That's not a safe or healthy situation to work with either.
That's not a time to be seeking couples therapy. That's a time to be seeking safety mm-hmm. and perhaps removing yourself from that situation. Mm-hmm. So one misconception was around not having to do any work. Mm-hmm. What else have you seen?
Misconceptions. That the work is going to take, a very short amount of time. Mm. Especially the relationships that are like 20 years in, 30 years in, mm-hmm. right? They've been married for a very long time and have been in this negative cycle for years and years and years. And the misconception is that it's only going to take like 3 months for them to be in a healthy relationship again. Mm-hmm. 20 years and 3 months is not, that's 20 years worth of things that we have to talk about sometimes, mm-hmm. Depending on what they really want to get off their chest to de-escalate the situation. Mm-hmm. Right. So the de-escalation phase can take a long time just because it's so many years behind what it is that they're coming in to discuss. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how long should people expect to be in couples therapy?
So on average, about 12 months, so about mm-hmm. a year, depending on where they are. So if they mm-hmm. if they have a lot of trauma or if it's a lot of stopping couples therapy and then starting again and then stopping, it will take longer, of course. Okay. But on average, about 12 months is a good estimate. Around the 6 month mark is when you kind of see them maintaining and phasing out and just kind of get into the smaller issues at the end.
Okay. All right. So what, anything else that we need to know about doing couples therapy in general or maybe specifically with you?
Anything else? I feel like a lot of it is overwhelming. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of this information that I've kind of talked about, it's real. It's the real situation and the real expectations mm-hmm. of couples therapy. But some of the benefits I want to talk about of couples
Great.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Because I think at the end, the graduation part of couples therapy is so rewarding for the couples. I mean, they feel like they have a new foundation. They feel like when they look back, they're like, we're not the same people we came in as. And I think that's so amazing. I think it's great to see that people can change mm-hmm. if they're willing to change and if they have the capacity to change. And also then they can move forward with their life and start the next chapter of their family or of their relationship. Because some people leave and they're ready to have a baby now, or they're ready to get married, or they're ready to renew their vows, or they're ready to do something on their bucket list together because they have reconnected and they really want to celebrate that.
That sounds really rewarding on your end.
It is. It's great to see. I love to see it. And that's what keeps me going in this work. So it's a roller coaster ride. I'm on the roller coaster with you. but it is nice once it, you know, it settles and we're back at the finish line and everything is done and you were in for a ride, but now you're getting off and you're on to the next thing.
Well, you're taking new clients right now, I assume?
I am taking new clients, and I am welcoming all clients, so I'm very inclusive in my work. I work with polyamorous couples, kink couples. I work with queer couples, and I want to put that out there, too, because I know that's something that some people really search for and want to hear.
Yeah.
So I work with a lot of different couples, too.
Well, thanks for being with us today and for sharing something that you're passionate about. Hope to see you again soon.
Thank you, Celine.
Thank you.